Hallelujah. Well, I want to let you know that I'm really excited to be here this morning. I'm very grateful for our gathering in the Lord, and we've been in a series called Following the Amazing Jesus. How many of you realize how amazing He is? He's holier than you can imagine. We're a tad more sinful than we'd ever care to admit. But His extravagant love is more than you can measure, and it makes it worth following Him. I'm excited about this. And when you get behind His view of things, it changes your life. Everybody say the title. Would you say, Repentance is Good? Repentance has been like a lost theme in the body of Christ. And it's so central to who Jesus is. So we want to look at it again today and invite the Holy Spirit to do. I believe I have a real word that's going to help us in a dynamic way. I know that the real wonderful things that have happened in my life came on the crux of a time of repentance. That opening up to the Lord has to do with a life change. Isn't that right? Bob Dylan put it in a nice way. I was blinded by the devil, dead already ruined, stone cold, no, born already ruined. How about that? These are nice. Go ahead. Blinded by the devil, born already ruined, stone cold dead when I stepped out of the womb. By His grace I have been touched. By His word I have been healed. By His hand I've been delivered. By His Spirit I've been sealed. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Saved by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I just want to thank You, Lord. I just want to thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. By His truth I can be upright. By His strength I do endure. By His power I've been lifted. In His love I am secure. He bought me with a price. Freed me from the pit. Full of emptiness and wrath and the fire that burns in it. And I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Saved by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm so glad. So glad. I want to thank You, Lord. Nobody to rescue me. Nobody would dare. I was going down for the last time. By His mercy I've been spared. Not by works, but by faith in Him who called. For so long I've been hindered. For so long I've been stalled. But I'm saved. By the blood of the Lamb. Saved. By the blood of the Lamb. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I want to thank You, Lord. I want to thank You, Lord. I want to thank You, Lord. We should get the band up and... Everybody say, repentance is good. Jesus sat down with His disciples after in His resurrected body, gathered them all together. And the Bible says He did the same thing that He did with the guys on the road to Emmaus. He says He opened their minds to the Scriptures and to understand the Scriptures and said, thus it is written. Everybody listen. Here's Jesus is talking. Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Listen to this. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. Jesus sitting down, I've risen from the dead. This is what you proclaim. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. Repentance. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. And Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works of faith. It's a foundation. Do you realize what happens when the foundation's off? Everything tumbles. Church ends up being all about you and what you're about. Oh, we just want to coddle you and let you know how it's going to be okay. Just do whatever you want to do and we'll be here for you. And the road to hell is paved with the broad way when there's no repentance. Repentance is a huge word from the Lord. It's a missing ingredient. And the Spirit is in the room. And I want you to pay attention and cue in here. One of the first point. Ready? God grants repentance. Hallelujah. God grants it. What is it to repent? I'm going to go ahead and tell you one nice term from the Lord. Ready? Permanent turnaround. Permanent turnaround. Permanent turnaround. It's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. It's not a one-time thing. It's a life-giving way. It's how you stay on the narrow road. It's how to readjust. How many of you got it all right the first time? How many are glad that you get a lot of chances? And that the Lord says, I've given you a way. I'm giving you a gift. I'm granting you something that you didn't have. You know when it first came? It first came to the Israelites. The scripture declares, I have a part of it there on your page. It says, the Lord our Father, this is that moment when after the Peter raises up by God's power the lame man at the pool Solomon's porch, and there's this big confrontation and backlash to this, and he stands up and under the Holy Spirit's anointing says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on the tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. It's given by God. And then later, Peter was down at Cornelius' house and all that happened there. And he comes back to report. And he's with back in Jerusalem. And he says, he's talking to the leadership there. Says, and they all respond. He says, if then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus, he says, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard the things, they fell silent. They glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. So Peter was sitting there when Jesus said, proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins. And he stood up and to the Pharisees he said, he's come to give repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And then he's in Cornelius' house. Peter was a breakthrough guy. How can we argue with what the Lord is doing? He's granted repentance. And later Paul found it wasn't just for the Israelites and all Gentiles coming in the door. For bound believers. Everybody say bound believers. Does anybody here know that you can receive Jesus and still be bound? Oh, I thought we got the whole thing. Well, some people get a good chunk right up front. You get liberated. But the whole point of understanding repentance is that it's lifelong. That it goes to your last breath.
Right.
That we walk in a way that God gives us. He says, learn of me. My burden is light. You know, my ways are easy for you to grapple with if you'll just come to me. How many of you had to have the Lord point out a thing or two? You know the difference between conviction and condemnation? Condemnation, you just can't quite figure out what you did wrong. You just feel everything about you is wrong. And that's the devil lying to you. Conviction is, honey, you see this right here? I want you to address this one area. Some people are just mad when they're caught. Others say, Lord, I'm so sorry. And they have a conscience. And they come to the Lord and repent. This verse, he grants repentance to bound believers. And the Lord's servant, this is 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. I have some of it there. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Underline this. God may perhaps grant them repentance. To leading to a knowledge of the truth that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. I got in the door, but now I got all these kinds of problems. How many of you have had a blind spot or two, had a lot of torment in your life, had things not going right, and you figured, until you hear this, You just got to gut it out, get discouraged, walk as a robot, kind of a dead Christian, give up, wander around. But then somebody says, hey, God can actually help you in a deeper way than what you first thought. And the next thing you know, God's granting you, again, the gift of repentance. And deep down, you can turn around and start. What is repentance? You were going one way, now you're going the other way. You were heading to hell, now you're heading to Jesus. And we have things in our lives that pull us certain things. Everybody's got a vulnerability, right? And the Lord says, I have a gift to give you. God grants repentance. It's God's gift to us. And just go ahead and let's go ahead and ask Him for it. Okay, Lord, grant me repentance in areas I need Your help. Grant me repentance. Can I tell you the biggest foe? Pride. Pride is a monster. Pride, it will keep you from repenting. Pride will create strife in your life and never allow you to humble your heart. You know another one? Unbelief. You make a decision because of a disappointment. You can repent of unbelief. You can have God give you a freedom from declaring that things will always be this bad way for you. You can get out of that. That's what repentance will do. It will break and clear your senses and cause you to come out of the trap of the adversary of thinking you'll always be down and never be living in the victorious things that God has for you. He'll liberate you. You know what else He'll liberate you from? Just a flat old rebellion and stubbornness. You can repent from being stubborn and having your heels dug in and saying it's my way or the highway. You can repent of that. He'll change your life. Those are root issues. Aren't you glad God's good? Let's go ahead and look at number two. Number two, repentance gives God joy. Repentance gives God joy. And if you look, if you've ever been around a person who's really repented, it gives you joy too. Jesus was gathered with the tax collectors and sinners, having something to eat. Now, the tax collectors were a category of people that were known as the traitors in Israel. And the sinners were just the regular people that just could never measure up to what the Pharisees said in some way or another. They couldn't pull it off. And so He's hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners. And then the Pharisees and the scribes come in. And they're grumbling. And they're saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So Jesus, being His master storyteller self, says, tells them a parable, says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Now, you got everybody in the room. Boy, the Pharisees, he's got everybody on the same page. The tax collector, well, that's right. You'd go after that. The sinner sitting back there, I'd go back to the scribe, everybody's in agreement. Ingenious. He's got them all. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Everybody's like feeling it. And when he comes home, he calls his friends and his neighbors saying, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Everybody's in. He set him up. And then he says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99. And he kind of looked over at the Pharisees, self-righteous. 99 righteous person who need no repentance. What's amazing about this story is the sheep just yielded to be picked up. How many of you, the Lord came and found you? How many of you went through that glorious, miraculous transformation from being a goat and being turned into a sheep? The miracle change of the Lord. The rejoicing over one that repents. That's get behind the eyes of Jesus. When the Lord sees someone repent, turn from their wickedness, turn from their selfishness to Him, all the floodgates of heaven open up and all the resources of heaven pour out for that person. And you felt it and I felt it, haven't you? Kind of this is the 1-2 punch, because there's another illustration. He's got the same thing going on Listen to this, guys. This is Luke 18, verse 9. And he also told the parable to some, okay, listen real close, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. Here you got the polarization of the community again. The traitor and the religious thug. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. Jesus is funny. Come on, man. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all I get. This is the Pharisee's prayer. Me, 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 me. Me, me, me. Me, 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 me. All about me, me, me. And then Jesus points, but the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. He was made right by God, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. That's the fruit. We sin because we're sinners. That's the root. The root is what repentance... Repentance affects both, but it's only superficial if it deals with the acts of sin. It's actually really transforming when it deals with the person himself. It goes deeper. Is everybody with me? Jesus is saying, the tax collector said, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's the deeper part. I am wrong. What's in me is not right. And the beauty of repentance is it takes a person who's just wrong and begins to make them just right. First God tells them, you're right with me. And then the gift of repentance throughout their lifetime causes them to make adjustments. Are you there? It's a joy in heaven to receive the gift of repentance and to act on it, receive the forgiveness of sins. God wants to unburden any heart today. Cause there to come a freedom for anyone that needs help today. And if not, just please remember this. Because you'll get out of a lot of problems by humbling your pride and repenting. Is there an amen, at least one,
amen,
in the house? Lastly, look at it. We're way ahead of the game here. This is number three. True repentance brings lasting fruit. If I say repentance is good, God grants it to you. He gives you the capacity to repent. It causes joy to come in his heart. And now it causes lasting fruit. It started off actually with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was one that came on the scene. He was out there on Jordan River and he was baptizing people. And he was praying calling people to repentance. Jesus picked up the theme like that and took off with it. But John actually started to define it a bit. And as they were going down, he said these words, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Everybody said it. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And Jesus picked up on that theme and said, you realize that if there's no changed life, there's no repentance? Did you know you can actually repent like Pharaoh? Pharaoh, the plagues came. When the plagues were happening, the frogs everywhere. Everywhere it's frogs. And Pharaoh says, I repent. And Moses speaks in behalf of the Lord, and the frogs leave. And then he changes his mind. How many people repent because of pressure, but not for true life change? I'm under it. That's a false repentance. And then later, the heart is hardened. That kind of thing happens. Where people say, I want to cut a deal, I want to cut a deal, I want to cut a deal. It's still self. It might be, say, I want to stop these actions over here, but the heart of the person is never transformed. Repentance is all about the heart of the person being changed. It's not a lot of fun to have a view of yourself that is not so good. But it opens up the door for the grace and redemptive power of God to come in and do something that you can't be on yourself. How many of you need an extra dose? The Lord wants to pour it out. So the men were going down in the water and coming up, and they're realizing he's calling for fruit. And the crowds came to John the Baptist and said, well, what do we do? What do we do? He says, if you have two tunics, that's just a shirt under your coat there. He says, if you got two and somebody doesn't have one, how about give them one? And same thing with food. If they're hungry, how about give them some food? And he's identifying the deed of repentance as, listen to this, how about quit being so selfish with your stuff? How about not have so much greed in your heart about your stuff? And true life change happens when, hey, it's all, I'm a steward of it. It's God's. And there's a fruit right there. People who are stingy versus people who are generous. The tax collectors came up to him and said, what do we do? What do we do to show forth fruits of repentance? He just said, don't charge people more than they owe in taxes. That cut right to the very identity of how they made their money. I charge you more and I keep the rest. Real repentance is, suddenly, this guy is being fair. Wow. That's character change. And for the soldiers, it was, don't extort anybody. Don't falsely accuse anybody. And be happy with your wages. Oh, the soldiers were used to kicking butt and getting people's stuff and intimidating them because they're soldiers. Real repentance is, you don't act like that anymore. That's the real fruit. Paul talked about this fruit. I have it in your notes there at the very bottom. It says, therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and then in Jerusalem and throughout the region of Judea and also to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with repentance. Performing deeds in keeping with repentance. It was a man, a wealthy man, lived on a mountain. He was holding some interviews for some chauffeurs. He had a question he asked the chauffeurs. He had several chauffeurs come in. He said, I live up on this mountain. And we drive down this kind of a treacherous road at times. And there's a cliff. And the question was, how close can you drive to the edge of the cliff and I still be safe? And the first chauffeur said, I believe I could get my tire about 6 inches from the edge and you'd still be safe. The next chauffeur came in, was asked the same question. He said, I believe I could get my tire right on the edge, but you'd be safe. The third chauffeur said, sir, with all due respect, I just hug the wall of the mountain and we'll be sure that you're safe. When it comes to sin, people will just wonder, how close can I get and still be safe? But real repentance, true repentance, I'm going to go over here and hug the mountain, my God. I'm going to get away from that. I'm leaving that. Are you there? Spirit of God, let there come in this body life an ongoing lifestyle of a humbling of the heart, inviting the Lord to do the things in us we can't do in our own strength and power. Are you there with me? Let's just close our eyes, lift our hearts to the Lord. Let the holy murmur of, first of all, just gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord for His gift of repentance He grants us to us. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Any place where you have been carrying something that it's really for the Lord to carry, can I invite you to repent? And ask the Lord to shoulder that burden. Any place of personal failure, where you've maybe read yourself the riot act, Jesus has taken the judgment, and you cannot heap enough shame on your own soul to pay that price that He's already paid. Can I invite you to repent? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to fine-tune repentance into your heart? Places that are stuck, places that you have gotten way too close to the edge. And the Lord says, I'm Almighty God. I have you in the palm of my hand. I love you, my son, my daughter. Allow me to work in your heart and bring you to a place that you're not living on the edge of the cliff anymore, but you're living in fellowship with me, your living God who loves you. Lord, work in our hearts, I pray. Where we've been blind to our own self-righteousness, our own self-management, our own self-comparing ourselves to others. Liberate us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Any partnership with anything other than the Holy Spirit, I pray it come in repentance. Partnership with fear, I pray that it be, we repent of it. In Jesus' name. We come to the altar of Jesus Christ. Come to the cross of Jesus. Where liberty happens. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the Holy Spirit is here to overthrow what would be your undoing and to break through and grant you freedom that you haven't known in an area of your life because you've chosen. Some of you, it might be just something where it used to be really, really strong, but it's weaker and weaker now. The Lord says, let's hit it one more time. Let's hit it one more time. Thank you, Lord. Praise 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 you, Lord. I would normally say that this was just for me, but I think we're all in this together, aren't we? The Lord's laid this on my heart. This capacity that He gives us to change. And here's the other thing I want to invite you to do right now. If you know somebody who's bound in whatever way, let's ask the Lord to grant them repentance. Ask the Lord to grant repentance to the head of ISIS. Ask the Lord to grant repentance to those who are blind, whether they know the Lord or don't know the Lord. Give repentance in this land. Pour out a spirit of repentance in this land. I've been in prayer meetings for years where we repented for, the church has repented for the sins of the land. I'm saying now, Lord, pour out a spirit of repentance in our government, in our leadership, in every way. Pour out a spirit. We grasp for you to grant repentance. Where it's not just I got caught over here, but it's I want to change. I want to change inside. I just got an awareness that the Lord wants to affirm someone that He's received their forgiveness, that He's received their repentance today, and it's washed away, and you receive that. That it's done. That there's a mind game hell wants to do and said, you know, you've done this before, and it's not working, and that's a lie. The Lord is doing a refreshing thing. Receive the strength of that. Word, receive the strength of that. felt like a discernment just came in my spirit. Hell wants to say, to sit on your shoulder and say something about the nature of your weakness that tries to define you. And the Lord says, that's not to define you, my son, my daughter. That's not the definition of who you are. What I say about you is who you are. That's the word of the Lord today. The Lord says, you're my son. You're my daughter. This is not your life. These failures don't define you. Your sin is not the definition of your identity. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Let's just praise Him. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's other issues or things that you want to pray, come in agreement with prayer with those up here. We invite you to do that at the end of the service here. If you wouldn't mind, look up at me. Ready? I love you guys so much, you can't even stand it. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you so much, I don't even have the capacity to express it the way I'd like to. I want with all of my heart that you walk with the Lord these days unencumbered by the works of the adversary and by the own shortcomings of your flesh. And that together as a group, we just discover every day what pleases the Lord and we do it. Because there's no joy in this world system. It's not there. It's worth persevering to the end with Jesus. With all your heart. You'll be so glad you did. And so let's encourage each other. And let's be the best repenters on the planet. Like Billy Graham said, how come you made it so long? Yeah, I guess I'm just a better repenter than most. He knew the gospel. He preached the gospel. He lived the gospel. He was a representation of the gospel. He knew how to come before Jesus said, I blew it. Amen. Let's stand together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Receive the peace of the Lord. Amen.